Right now, there is an invisible algorithm parsing language in a distant data center somewhere, and it is the exact reason you are going to pay an extra $200 for your next laptop.
Yeah.
Today, we're looking at how invisible digital infrastructure is just aggressively eating the physical world.
Which is such a wild concept,
It
right?
really.
Because we are basically watching digital ambitions physically consume earthly resources.
Yeah.
People tend to think of the tech sector as this space of like infinite digital expansion.
Yeah.
But it is ultimately bound by rigid constraints, hardware, human expertise, and honestly, just the laws of physics.
Well, welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Sunday, June 28, 2026, and our mission today is to cut through the noise of this massive stack of reports we got from Tech and Morning. We are uncovering how the latest innovations are basically rewriting the rules of physical reality, moving from the sudden price surge on your everyday devices to the architecture of global finance, and all the way up to literal gas stations in outer space.
That's a lot of ground to cover.
It is. Okay, let's unpack this. I promise you, we are going to make sense of the noise without any of the overwhelming jargon, focusing strictly on the mechanisms actually driving these headlines.
The overarching thread tying all your sources together is that the hidden infrastructure of technology has become the primary battleground.
Right.
We aren't talking about app updates or user interfaces anymore. We're talking about the physical bottlenecks of raw resources, the intense war for specialized human talent, and frankly, the regulatory frameworks that are struggling to contain it all.
So there is no better place to start than the most immediate physical reality for you, the listener, which is your wallet.
Always.
We are seeing a massive AI attacks hitting consumer electronics right now. The artificial intelligence boom isn't just this abstract software concept anymore. It is physically consuming the components needed to build our daily devices.
Yeah, it's taking the hardware right out of our hands.
Exactly. Apple just announced widespread price increases across their entire MacBook and iPad lines, and they're pointing directly to a global shortage of memory chips, specifically RAM and solid-state drives.
Right.
The main culprits here are companies like OpenAI, Google, and Microsoft. They are just buying up memory supply to support their latest large language models like GPT-5.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you really have to look at the architectural shift in how these massive models operate. AI requires a localized cluster of active memory to prevent latency.
Right, because delay is the enemy.
Exactly. When you are processing billions of parameter weights for inference, which is the actual act of the AI generating a response, you hit what engineers call the memory wall.
The memory wall.
Right. The processor itself is incredibly fast, but it spends most of its time just waiting for data to be fetched from memory.
Wow.
So to bypass that bottleneck, data centers have to pack an unprecedented amount of RAM directly adjacent to the processing units.
And the scale is just completely alien to consumer tech. I mean, a standard high-end MacBook Pro might utilize, what, 16 to 64 gigabytes of RAM?
Yeah, exactly.
But an AI server running these frontier models requires 1 to 2 terabytes of RAM.
It's staggering.
It's like AI data centers are pulling up to an all-you-can-eat buffet and taking the entire tray of memory chips straight back to the kitchen before everyday consumers even get a plate.
That is a perfect analogy. And manufacturers like Samsung and Micron, they simply cannot physically retool their fabrication plants fast enough to keep up with that ravenous demand from the data
They
centers.
just can't make them fast enough.
No, the supply chain is completely bottlenecked at the manufacturing level. Tim Cook called the resulting price hikes unavoidable in Apple's latest release, but market analysts in the Tech and Morning reports, they project that Dell, HP, and Lenovo will inevitably follow suit.
And the price jumps are steep, by the way. The MacBook Neo went up $100, landing at $699.
Wow.
The MacBook Air saw a $200 increase. The iPad Air went up $150, but the Mac Studio is seeing jumps of up to $1,300 depending on the configuration.
Ouch. So for anyone listening who is planning to upgrade their personal hardware, the strategic move is to wait, provided your current machine is still functional, of course.
Just hold off.
Yeah, analysts expect the memory market supply to finally stabilize around fall of 2026. That's when new fabrication lines come online and the initial surge of this GPT-5 infrastructure build-out plateaus.
So the AI giants are clearly consuming the physical silicon, but they are also hoarding the people who shape it.
Yes.
Paul Mead, who is the vice president of hardware engineering for Apple's Vision Products Group, is officially leaving to join OpenAI's new hardware division.
That is a massive shift.
It really is. Mead has been at Apple for over a decade. He built their VR and AR team from the ground up. driving the Vision Pro and the Smart Glasses project. And he's just the latest in a string of high-profile departures following executives like Tang Tan and Evans Hanke.
It represents a massive migration of highly specialized physical engineering talent out of traditional consumer electronics and straight into AI-focused ventures.
Yeah.
I mean, OpenAI's current valuation sits at an astronomical $157 billion. That allows them to offer compensation packages that even Apple struggles to justify.
But here's where it gets really interesting, though. I have to push back on the premise that a software giant can just buy their way into consumer hardware overnight.
Okay, why?
Well, hardware requires an entirely different operational DNA than software. You can't just code a manufacturing pipeline into existence, right? Poaching Mead feels like a software company buying an elite architect simply because they suddenly realize they have to pour concrete.
That is exactly the hurdle OpenAI faces, but it also explains why acquiring a veteran like Mead is the only viable strategy.
How so?
Building consumer hardware involves establishing relationships with thousands of micro suppliers in Asia, understanding the yield rates of microscopic components, and, you know, managing the thermal dynamics of a device sitting on a user's face.
Right. It's highly physical.
Extremely. If OpenAI tried to develop that institutional knowledge organically, it would take a decade. By poaching the person who just spent the last 10 years navigating those exact supply chain realities at the most successful hardware company on Earth, they were attempting to shortcut the R&D process.
Okay, that makes sense. Apple is replacing Mead with Fletcher Rothkopf, but losing the principal architect of your most ambitious new product line to a software rival, that clearly stings.
Oh, absolutely.
It proves that the human infrastructure of technology is just as contested as the microchips themselves.
Yes. OpenAI is signaling a very deliberate pivot toward consumer AI-powered hardware devices. Mm. And they are literally buying the physical DNA required to execute it.
Well, since Apple hardware is getting pricier and their top talent is shifting gears, the logical next step for most of us is maximizing the efficiency of the devices we already own.
Smart move.
Let's pivot from macro hardware trends to the micro-level physics of keeping your current tech powered. Apple just released a $99 MagSafe battery for the new iPhone Air. But looking at the technical specs in our sources, it only offers a capacity of roughly 5,000 milliamp hours, and it caps out at a 15-watt charging speed.
Which is honestly largely uncompetitive when you look at how the third-party market has evolved, primarily due to the new Qi2 wireless charging standard.
Right, and there's a fascinating physics reality in these reports regarding inductive charging. We tend to view wireless charging as this magical energy transfer.
Like magic, yeah.
But the physics of induction are actually incredibly inefficient. When you transfer power through electromagnetic fields, you naturally lose about 20 to 30% of that energy. It just dissipates as pure heat.
It just burns off.
Yeah. So if your phone has a 4,000 milliamp hour battery and you buy a 5,000 milliamp hour Apple pack, you are barely getting a single full charge due to that thermal loss.
Oh.
High-capacity batteries aren't a luxury. The laws of physics dictate they are essential.
Exactly. And the primary advantage of the Qi2 standard is its localized magnetic power profile.
What does that mean for the user?
Well, in older inductive chargers, if the transmitter and receiver coils were misaligned by even a few millimeters, the electromagnetic field would scatter. That drastically increases that heat loss you mentioned, and it degrades the battery's chemical lifespan over time.
Oh, so it actually damages the battery.
Over time, yes. But Qi2 standardizes a magnetic ring that forces perfect alignment every single time. That allows the internal microcontrollers to dynamically adjust the wattage without burning off excess heat.
And the third-party alternatives leverage this brilliantly. The Anker Mago Slim 10K is retailing for $54.99. It offers 10,000 milliamp hours, which is double the capacity of Apple's option, meaning it can fully charge an iPhone 17 twice, despite the induction loss.
Yeah, and if charging speed is your primary constraint, the Ugreen MagFlow is highlighted in the sources, too. It costs $69.99, but it utilizes the 25-watt Qi 2.2 standard, making it the fastest option currently available for the iPhone 16 and 17. The Belkin Boost Charge Pro is also highly rated in the reports. The real takeaway here is that third-party Qi2 certified options are rigorously tested for thermal safety. There is just no technical justification to pay a $99 premium for lower capacity just for the brand name.
So we've talked about optimizing power at the micro level for your personal gadgets, but the true test of digital infrastructure is optimizing for scale.
Yes.
We are moving from powering our phones to how artificial intelligence is powering the financial system of an entire nation.
This is a huge story.
India's Unified Payments Interface, known as UPI, is currently processing 750 million daily transactions, and their target is 1 billion.
That scale is hard to even comprehend. Dilip Asbi, the CEO of the National Payments Corporation of India, is aggressively deploying AI across the network's backend to reach that billion transaction milestone.
How are they using the AI?
They are utilizing machine learning to detect and isolate sophisticated fraud patterns at a scale human moderators could never achieve, while simultaneously creating predictive interfaces to bring 500 million new rural users into the digital economy.
And the technical breakthrough that really stands out in the reporting is from Pine Labs. They launched a new protocol built on top of UPI called P3P.
Right.
Which is engineered specifically for automatic payments handled by AI agents. To visualize this for you listening, it's like building a financial operating system where everyone gets a personal digital butler in their pocket.
I love that analogy.
Right. This agent uses an API to monitor your bank account, autonomously paying your electricity bill when rates dip, or securing your weekly groceries, or even executing microinvestments without requiring your manual approval for every single transaction.
What's fascinating here is the sheer velocity of the leapfrog effect.
The leapfrog effect.
Yeah, traditionally, hyper-personalized financial analysis algorithms that track your exact spending velocity, suggest dynamic installment plans, manage micro-portfolios. There was a service walled off for high-net-worth individuals at legacy banks.
Because it took a team of human analysts.
Exactly. The computational overhead was just too high. Now, AI dramatically lowers the cost of intelligence. A lean startup using the P3P protocol can offer a street vendor the exact same algorithmic financial management that was previously reserved for a hedge fund client.
Wow. So it is leapfrogging traditional physical banking infrastructure entirely. You don't need 1,000 bank branches made of brick and mortar if an AI agent can execute smart contracts directly through a digital identifier.
Precisely. It creates a frictionless velocity of money that traditional financial systems simply cannot match.
Which provides a very stark geopolitical contrast to what's happening in the United States, according to the sources. While India is rapidly deploying AI-driven financial infrastructure, the U.S. is locked in a paralyzed debate over its own digital financial frameworks.
Yeah, the contrast is sharp.
The Clarity Act is currently stuck in Congress, with prediction markets giving it only a 41% chance of passing by the end of 2026.
The Clarity Act aims to establish a transparent legal framework for digital assets in the U.S. The core of the debate is jurisdictional, really. It's about splitting regulatory oversight between the SEC, which handles securities, and the CFTC, which handles commodities, while finally establishing a clear legal definition for stablecoins.
So what does this all mean? Because I want to push back on the urgency surrounding this bill.
Okay.
We are talking about a $2.4 trillion global market cap for digital assets. Considering the sheer volume of wealth at stake, isn't it better for lawmakers to take their time, thoroughly debate the nuances, and get the regulations exactly right, rather than rushing a flawed framework into law?
In theory, yes. But according to the economic strategists in your sources, in the mechanics of global capital markets, prolonged legal ambiguity is actually more destructive than strict rules.
Really? How so?
Because if a regulator imposes strict compliance rules, a company can calculate those costs, adjust their business model, and proceed. But if the rules are undefined, or if a digital asset's status fluctuates depending on which agency is currently suing you, the risk becomes unquantifiable. You cannot secure institutional investment for an unquantifiable risk.
Ah, because capital always flows to the path of least resistance.
Precisely. The reports warn that this legislative delay is actively causing crypto capital and blockchain developers to flee the U.S. for jurisdictions offering clear regulatory environments, such as Singapore and the UAE.
Just to find some stability.
Yeah. And the reports highlight that even China, which strictly banned domestic crypto trading for citizens, is aggressively advancing its state-controlled digital yuan and establishing international blockchain standards. As Michael Novogratz, the CEO of Galaxy Digital, noted in the reports, quote, "The market needs certainty, not endless debate. If one nation stalls, competitors will simply dictate the global standards for the next iteration of money."
It just demonstrates that infrastructure isn't just physical wires and servers. The legal frameworks governing those servers are equally vital.
Absolutely.
Well, we've discussed the flow of capital and digital assets across earthly borders, but let's look at the flow of literal physical fuel in orbit. Infrastructure is officially becoming interplanetary.
The joint test of the cryocoupler by NASA and L3Harris is a monumental milestone in aerospace engineering.
It is an incredible feat of physics. They spent $45 million to successfully test an in-orbit refueling device. In simple terms, they are building a gas pump nozzle for outer space.
It sounds like sci-fi, but it's real.
But the engineering constraints are just staggering. Oh. This device has to handle ultra-cold cryogenic materials, liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen at minus 253 degrees Celsius.
Which is incomprehensibly cold.
Right. And it has to transfer 100 tons of this highly volatile fluid per hour entirely in the vacuum of space with absolutely zero leakage.
Because the physics of maintaining a seal in those conditions are a total nightmare.
I can imagine.
Traditional O-rings and mechanical seals become incredibly brittle at minus 253 degrees. They contract and shatter. And in the vacuum of space, even a microscopic leak means that the cryogenic fluid instantly vaporizes.
Which is bad.
Very bad. That rapid expansion destabilizes the internal pressure of the fuel tank, leading to a catastrophic mission failure. The cryocoupler had to utilize an entirely new mechanism to join two freezing pipes perfectly without relying on traditional compression seals.
Just thinking about the physics of that is incredibly stressful. How do you even begin to maintain a fluid transfer in microgravity? But the real question is why they're taking on this massive engineering risk in the first place.
This raises an important question about the fundamental mechanics of space travel, specifically what engineers call the tyranny of the rocket equation.
The tyranny of the rocket equation.
Yeah. Since the Apollo era, a rocket has had to carry all the fuel it needs for its entire round trip directly from the launch pad on Earth's surface.
Which means you have to build a heavier rocket to carry the fuel, which then requires even more fuel just to lift the heavier rocket.
Exactly. It is this escalating cycle of weight and cost. The cryocoupler breaks that cycle. Spacecraft no longer have to carry the burden of their return fuel out of Earth's gravity.
Well, they can just stop for gas.
Right. They can launch with a fraction of the weight, break through the atmosphere, and then dock with an orbital gas station in low Earth orbit to refuel for deep space transit. This single piece of infrastructure cuts total space mission costs by up to 40%.
Wow, 40%. And the deployment timeline is moving incredibly fast. The reports indicate 2029 for the first operational orbital station, 2030 to 2031 for the Artemis lunar missions, and 2033 and beyond for crewed missions to Mars.
It's right around the corner.
Private aerospace companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin are already deeply invested in integrating this standard.
Because without an established orbital refueling network, putting human beings on Mars is virtually impossible. We simply cannot construct a launch vehicle on Earth massive enough to hold the fuel required for a crewed Mars transit, landing, and return sequence. The physical infrastructure has to be built in orbit first.
It always comes back to the infrastructure. Today's deep dive revealed that technology has evolved far beyond software updates on your screen. The physical and invisible infrastructure of the future is being built around us in real time.
From the specific memory architecture being hoarded for localized AI clusters, bottlenecking global supply chains,
to the aggressive talent wars stripping specialized hardware veterans from Apple to build OpenAI's physical devices,
to India's AI-driven P3P protocol leapfrogging legacy banking architecture entirely ago.
And all the way out to the advanced cryogenic seals enabling literal gas stations in the vacuum of space. Every single one of these advancements impacts you directly.
It really does.
It dictates whether you should delay buying that new MacBook. It explains why choosing a Chu2 certified battery isn't just marketing, it's about navigating the actual physics of induction. And it dictates why the value of the digital assets in your portfolio might remain volatile while Washington continues to debate the Clarity Act.
The foundational layers of the world are being rewired, from the thermal limits of the devices in your pocket to the regulatory frameworks governing global finance.
Before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final thought to ponder. We discussed India's P3P protocol, where AI agents will autonomously handle daily payments and micro-investments.
Right.
We also discussed the massive decentralized web of digital assets tied up in the Clarity Act debate. If you combine those two concepts, what happens when your personal AI agent executes a terrible financial smart contract with another AI agent?
Oh, wow.
In a near future world driven by automated digital assets and invisible financial infrastructure, who is legally responsible when the algorithms get it wrong? Is it you, the developer who coded the agent, or the underlying protocol itself?
That is a profound legal gray area.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, global legal frameworks are not remotely prepared to assign liability to autonomous code.
definitely something to mull over as you navigate this rapidly shifting landscape. Because remember, just because the infrastructure of the future is invisible doesn't mean it won't run right over you if you aren't paying attention. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the unseen, and we will catch you next time.